Okay, well, this is now the time for us to draw together some of the results of our meeting this today, this morning, and now this afternoon. We've had the seminar groups, and I think the first thing would be just very briefly to hear from them. So who is going to report from the ivory tower up there? Clive, you're going to do it yourself, okay. Do you want somebody, is there a flip chart or something that we could be writing these things down? No? Can't see one. Anyway, do write them down yourselves.
Yeah, I'll be very brief. We were looking at academization, and the world is changing, as we've heard all day. And our question really was, how can the Christian community take hold of the opportunities the academization program offers? Because it's clear now that there is an opportunity for the faith community to step up, if you like. Schools were the family business of the church, and it's possible to take that back. And we're really interested in this paper, which is the latest green paper that was just referred to, came out on the 12th of September and is in consultation stage till the 12th of December. This talks about the grammar schools that you've already heard, but it also talks about how faith schools can work as well. And there's a huge chunk on faith schools in here. And I would urge everyone to respond to this, because you can be sure that the humanists are going to respond to this, and they're going to respond to it in numbers. So as many people as you can get to respond, because there are things in here that will change the face of education in this country. We want things to stay the same for a while, but they're not going to, particularly with this paper. So make sure that as many people as you can respond. And we're looking perhaps that there's opportunities. Lots of churches say they want to set up schools, but don't know how. Not particularly Church of England and Catholic schools. The Catholic schools will be helped by this paper in particular. But large churches across the country, that's now possible without people having to pay to go to them, because the government will actually pay if they become a free school, and there's opportunities here for that. So let's step up to the challenge, but do respond to this, please, as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next group was legal issues.
Okay, we covered a number of different issues, and we were looking really at the strength that we do have in the law, in various different types of law, that we as teachers, parents, even pupils, although there's probably not many, or maybe just one pupil here at the moment, and what the law offers for us. Just to say that at Christian Legal Centre, we have dealt with many of the cases that have presented themselves on these issues, and we talked about how 9 times out of 10, speaking to the school with support if you can get it, and saying to the head teacher, for example, I have rights to educate my child in line with my beliefs, ends the issue. For example, halal food, praying to Allah, dealing with too much sex in lessons, etc. That can all be dealt with, and that's the experience that we have at Christian Legal Centre. So just giving people the confidence to take back that, discuss it with the teachers, and to say, this is how we can use the law to support children being educated in line with our beliefs.
That's fine. Okay. You said it all.
Yeah. Oh. so that was that. And just quickly to mention, and obviously Ed's at the coalface, and so he knows a lot about the actual dealing with it on the grounds, as it were. I'm a bit further removed, but just to say as well as domestic legislation, we also said there are many international covenants that the UK has, which say that these rights to educate your child in line with your beliefs are protected. So maybe if you don't know about those yet, come and find me or speak to Christian Legal Centre. Find out what those are and quote them to the schools. That's something we've done as well, European Convention, etc. And this, when the school sees that, it thinks, gosh, this parent knows what they're talking about. We're going to tread carefully. The issue is dealt with. So just to encourage you on that point.
I would emphasise that also dealing with Ofsted, several schools that in the session we had obviously had pretty rough experiences. If you fight back at them with clarity and with confidence, they do yield back, because it's a tide of sort of orthodoxy at the moment rather than terribly clearly thought out policies. The other big thing that we discussed was actually the whole issue of how you teach Christian belief and where it clashes with curriculum. The big thing was creationism and the problems of that. I think the gentleman from the Broadway Academy summed it up well when he said it's a question of you are able to do both, look at the views of one, the content curriculum of the other, but just be careful in the way you do it. But it's the kind of thing that the authorities will come down on you for. The law itself allows you to have a much stronger Christian ethos in the school than perhaps you believe, and it's more defensible, and CLC are very, very good at helping individual cases, be it parents, schools, or teachers. Okay.
Thank you. And finally, thinking Christianly about education, John?
Yes, I was just patting myself on the back at the back there, because I thought I was the only seminar leader who actually got someone from the audience to come and feedback, but that person has unfortunately just had to leave, so I'm back up the front again myself. Yes, well, I mean, we didn't have a lot of time for discussion. I apologise to my group for that, and it's certainly an area that and needs a lot of discussion, I think, thinking about how we approach the curriculum from a Christian perspective. But just to share a couple of thoughts, sort of summing up with everybody, I had on the screen at lunchtime Jesus commanding that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I felt slightly embarrassed about underlining mind on there after we just heard about how C.S. Lewis talked about men with no chests and having two big minds. But of course, the reality is that our whole being should be submitted to Christ. And that includes not just the character education, though we must emphasize the importance of that, but also all the other aspects of education and the curriculum itself need to be submitted to Christ. And I suppose my sort of big takeaway point was there is no neutrality there either. And the way we present our teaching, the way we present our subjects is either going to be encouraging pupils towards Christ or away from him. And if our education is all about simply and merely economic well-being, then we are encouraging our pupils into idolatry and into the worship of mammon. And there are many other things, self-fulfillment and your own goals and developing your own goals, many things within education where we need to be thinking carefully. In maths, we need to be thinking carefully about the problems that we're setting. I was listening to Radio 4 just last week, and a gentleman was on there from Syria talking about ISIS and the influence of ISIS on maths lessons and how lessons become about adding up the number of bombs and how they just introduced this into maths, still teaching the same sums, but the examples that ISIS had chosen were examples to perpetuate their own warped beliefs. In the same way, perhaps we should be thinking actually about the maths problems that we're setting, and whether we're asking pupils just to calculate compound interest on their bank accounts, or whether we're also asking them to think about giving and how they can give money and calculations they might do on that. What are the examples that we're using in any subject and the way we're communicating? What is that communicating to pupils about the purpose of life and what they should be aiming for in life? To what God is it pointing them? So that was really the substance of what we said, but more discussion needs to be had.
Thank you. Are there other things that people have noticed in the seminars or in the general discussion that they would just like to mention, maybe in a line or two, sentence or two?
Well, that's made them think again, you see, that's, yeah?
Um, Professor Rachel Forrester-Jones from the University of Kent. It's just really an observation that there's been a lot of bashing of Ofsted, which I quite agree with. But I just wonder if it's time that Christians should step up and actually get themselves onto Ofsted and in those kinds of positions, those leadership positions. If you can't beat them, join them.
Yes. Thank you. Anything else? Any other?
Thank you. Just a word on teaching subjects from a Christian perspective. I was really helped by the notion that every subject has a story behind it, an unfolding story of the world, and that we as Christians have a great deal to add in relating how that story might be subverted or actually fulfilled by the Christian story. Thank
you. Last chance. Okay, well.
Bishop Michael, could I just it would be really helpful for those of us who've been involved in organising today to know to what extent this has been helpful, whether it would be helpful to have future events like this, and those sorts of questions. But I think there are email addresses available on the programme which you received when you came.
Yes. Yes, please let us have any feedback. Is that what you're saying, Rob?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Just to sum up, because we are hoping this is not a one-off, that this will be a process, and we are, in fact, having a meeting quite soon to see how that progress, how that process can be furthered. It seems to me there are a number of things that have been said that we need all of us to bear in mind. So the first thing that was said by Professor Pike, I think, was about the myth of secular neutrality that has been repeated, that somehow we have to strongly to challenge this reigning myth that somehow the secular is the neutral. It's not, and we have to point this out. In any case, in terms of education and learning, nobody works from a vacuum. We all need to stand in a particular historical and philosophical and indeed believing tradition to acquire knowledge and then to make sense of it. And what is wrong with the Judeo-Christian tradition in doing that? I mean, this is a question that has to be asked of our nation. A tradition that has produced almost everything that we have achieved is being ditched for an untested mythological kind of neutrality. So, and on the question of knowledge, I mean, the Christian commitment has always been to knowledge for its own sake, not for economic gain or for greater leverage in society or whatever, but for its own sake, because the study of creation, and that's the second book, isn't it? You have the Bible as the first book of Revelation and creation as the second book. I mean, that's the reason why we need to acquire knowledge. Of course, it may have other effects, our acquisition of knowledge, but we have to state this unapologetically. Then we need to distinguish in vocabulary. Mr. Timms has just repeated this term. We need to maintain a distinction between faith as some kind of undifferentiated something or other, and the faith. So the Christian faith is not just something by which we believe, but it actually has a body, a content that we believe, which is important for education, essential, we would say. I would say, for education. And I think John has been pointing out how subjects can be taught Christianly, not simply by subverting them. I mean, that may need to happen because of the kind of revisionism that has taken place, but in fact pointing out their true nature and their true center. For instance, in the study of history, that history cannot be value-free, that history has to take account of what motivates people as well as being names and dates. Th-
the question of extremism has been raised a number of times, and government proposals to counter it and so on. But we shouldn't we, emphasize the importance of freedom of speech, that the presumption must always be for society to have freedom of speech limited only in the most needy circumstances, for instance, where there's a threat of violence or unjust discrimination, or maybe perhaps in our situation today, radical disloyalty to the state itself. I mean, otherwise the presumption must be of free speech, or we will end up in a kind of secular totalitarianism. Perhaps totalitarianism is always secular, but that's a matter for debate. The difficulties faced by teachers as well as opportunities have been mentioned, but I'm so glad to have heard from Libby and Edmund that the challenges are not perhaps as extreme as we sometimes think them to be, and that there is remedy and protection at hand. So do take a note of that, and the people who are willing to help you with remedy and protection, the Christian Legal Center, Christian Institute. I don't know if Neil Addison is still doing his work. Edmund, is he? Where is he? Is he gone? But you know, there are a number of people who are willing to help you in these areas. Parents, again, very happy to hear from Libby about protection that parents can claim as of law for themselves. And again, it is a sign of totalitarianism, isn't it, to replace parents with the state. And we mustn't allow that to happen. Homeschooling has not actually been mentioned today. But again, for those parents who feel that their Christian integrity can best be maintained by homeschooling, we must make sure that what is happening in Germany, where people are having to emigrate to the United States if they want to homeschool their children, shouldn't happen here, whatever else happens. Just now, from the seminars, you've been encouraged to respond to the consultation on schools. And the Association of Christian Teachers will have some resources to do that, Clive?
Yes.
Yeah? There you are, there's your answer. Knowledge of the law, if you're uncertain about the law, contact Libby, Powell at the Christian Legal Center, or John at the Christian Institute, or Edmund, who has just left, who has written a very good paper on this. Oh, he's back, yeah. How would people contact you, Edmund? Okay, through Libby, fine. One matter which I think we need to discuss further is the question of apologetics. Because, I mean, having concentrated on C.S. Lewis today, well, I mean, he was the great apologist of his age and perhaps of our age as well. But we have to ask, what is Christian apologetics in our culture? What role does it have in education? And what resources there are to develop a proper Christian apologetic for our day in our own time? And we were discussing the fact that there are C.S. Lewis study centers in various U.S. universities, but nothing really here. And why is that? A prophet without honor in his own land, perhaps, but maybe we need to correct that. So thank you very much indeed for your participation. I know some people have had to go. Clive, you've got your annual meeting. Do you want to say anything about that? Okay, shall we just stand and say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And let us say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.